All right. Tanners, why don't you come and sing another song for us? And Andrew, we're going to let you preach. 5 minutes. Be ready and preach after this song, okay? Singing. Thank you. Have you enjoyed them so far? I think they're doing a great job. I like the way a family sings together. All right, Andrew. He's part of the family too, but distant cousin, Pat would tell you. And so, Andrew, why don't you give us 5 minutes, all right?
All right. Lately, I've been going every Wednesday with Pastor Nathan after church. And isn't it interesting how someone brings up a Bible verse to you and it just kind of sinks in? You never knew it was in the Bible, but it really helped you. And I haven't been able to get this past Wednesday. I haven't been able to get this verse off my mind. And I know it hasn't been me, but it's been the Holy Spirit working in me. It says in Luke 9, verse 62, "And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hands to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." Salvation wasn't made so that we can be saved and then immediately doubt our salvation. This is a test of character and a test of our faithfulness to God. The man Jesus is talking to isn't mentioned. It just says a certain man he was talking to. But there are many characters throughout the Bible that we have seen who have put their hands to the plow and have looked back, and they have failed in their ministry. But then there are those who have put their hands to the plow and continued the work that God gave for them. As we continue to go into a new year, if we look back and dwell on our past failures and mistakes, this can cause anxiety, depression, possibly jealousy of looking at others and what they've accomplished, hatred towards that person, and ultimately this leads to selfishness. That all boils down to selfishness. It's not a sin to look back and be reminded of where God has brought us here in Victory Baptist Church, or even in your own personal life, physically or spiritually. It's not a sin to look back. One thing that I remember Pastor Bob talking about all the time is, take note of things that happen, but don't dwell on it. Take note of things that happen so that if it happens again, you can look back and be reminded of what God has brought you through to that point in time. Now, where I would like to turn is 1 Kings chapter 19. We're going to look at a man who put his hands to the plow and did not look back. His name was Elisha. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse number 19 through 21. And so he departed thence and found Elisha. This is talking about Elijah, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and mother, and then I will follow thee." And he said unto them, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" And he returned back from him and took the yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave it to the people, and they did eat. And he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. One thing I want to look at when leading into 2018 is a few thoughts from here. One, you're not going to be perfect, but we must all be ready for when God calls us out. The first thing I want to see is that Elisha is a farmer. And back in these times, I don't believe families like separated and went distances from each other. They were a close community. So Elisha probably doesn't know what it's like far out. He was always home. And Elijah passed by and called him to the ministry, or he had God use Elijah to call Elisha into the ministry. So he doesn't know what's going on. And he gave up everything to follow the will of God and never looked back. Now some people would think, well, didn't he give up his plow and move on? Too many times we're thinking of the physical realm. We're thinking spiritually. Elisha never spiritually picked up his plow and just looked back. God just moved him to a different field. And that's where Elisha needed to be when God called him. One thing that I believe that if Elisha refused to go, God would call someone else out. Because those who were saved underneath the ministry of Elisha, if they never heard from Elisha, does that mean God would just let them perish? Well, what does it say in the Bible? God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But Elisha would have missed the blessing that God had called him out into. So God may call you into a different field. Take your plow, look forward. Don't pay attention to others around you and what they have to think about what you're doing. You do what God has called you to do, and he will bless you with the fruits that you do your work with.
You're right. We're getting a six-point outline. All right. Tanner Clan, Tanner Tots, whatever. Come on up and sing another song for us.
Who would have thought that a lamb could
Nice. Pat, you're up. I didn't give you a warning because you should be one of the most experienced here.
John chapter number 15 tonight. John chapter number 15. This is one of my favorite portions of Scripture. I think it's one of the ones that for 2018, in order for us to be fruitful and to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord, I think John chapter number 15 is a place that can help us out. John chapter number 15, verse number 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. We're going to stop there and go back to the beginning of the chapter, John chapter number 15 and verse number 1, talking about the vine and the branch. We think about the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel is the divine vine of God. And it's no doubt why God picked that plant, and because it totally fit exactly his purpose, and it fit the nation of Israel, and it fits us. This example of the vine and the branch. And we look at what Jesus says, that his Father is the husbandman. The husbandman is the one who takes care of the vine. And as we think about the vine and we think about the husbandman and we think about us as branches, in verse number 2, we find something that to me, sometimes, you know, I kind of was puzzled by it. It says that every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And we think, well, if it's a branch and it's in him, why would God take it away? You know, that puzzled me for a long time. But you know, when you look up the Greek word behind the word taketh away, do you know what that means? It means he lifts it up. It means he lifts it up. You know, if you're a vine dresser, if you're a husbandman and you spend a bunch of time and effort on a vine, and you have branches growing everywhere, you know, sometimes those branches grow along the ground. They're overcome with weeds and they're overcome with grass and all these things. And you know what needs to happen to that vine in order for it to bear fruit? It needs to be taken away from the ground. It needs to be lifted up. It needs to be tied back up. If you've ever grown grapes, you know what that's like, right? Taking those branches and you tie them up in the trestle and you keep them off the ground so that they'll bear fruit. And you know what? Maybe your life is fruitless right now. And maybe your 2017, if you were to look at it and you were to be rewarded for what you accomplished for God in 2017, maybe as you examine yourself, you would be hard-pressed to find any reason that God would do anything for you in reward because you really haven't done anything for him. And that's a sad place. But you know what? God doesn't want to cut you off. He doesn't want to take you away. He wants to lift you up. He wants to restore you. You know, there are folks in this community who were in church once in their past, and they were very active, and they helped out in the youth group, and they helped out cleaning up after meals, and they did this, and they did that, and they were active in church. And come 2018, they're not anywhere to be found. You know, those branches God wants to lift up. He wants to restore them back into fellowship with him. He wants to put them back in the place that they need to be. But then we find, after they're lifted up and the growth process begins again and they're taken off and they're starting to bear fruit, God says, Jesus says that the Father, the husbandman, prunes a vine. Now, if you've ever pruned a vine, pruned a tree, you know that that takes some pain, right? It takes some hurt to that tree or to that vine. You've got to cut off areas that are causing that branch not to bear the fruit that it should. And you know what? Sometimes in life, that's painful. And maybe your 2017 was full of pain. But we look at that and we say, God, why? Maybe it's because the Father, the husbandman, saw some pruning that needed to be done in your life. For the purpose that you could bear the fruit that you need to in 2018. Amen. And maybe you're here this evening and your 2017 was pretty good. And you're looking at it and you're thinking, man, I've accomplished more in 2017 for the Lord than ever I have before, and it's great. And that is a great thing. And that ought to be said of our 2018 as well, and it ought to be said of our 2019 and our 2020, if the Lord tarries, that we continue to glorify God in bearing fruit.
Mark's got a lot of power back there, doesn't he? Thank you. It's good. All right. Tanner's going to come back and sing another song, at least one more song. And I'm trying to debate. Eric, are you ready? Huh? All right, come on.
You got how long is this song, Pat? 3 minutes? You got 3 months coming up to good. You guys are singing another song after this, by the way.
Okay.
I just added another one to the list.
All right.
Good to have our two new deacons up here preaching, isn't it? And we're thankful that they're wanting to serve the Lord. So, preach away.
Bear with me, folks. I'm fighting a cold. Yeah, that's what I said. Happy New Year to everybody. I hope it's a wonderful New Year for you all. But I want to sit here and say that a lot of people, at the beginning of a new year, do this one thing that they call a New Year's resolution. Oh, I promise that I'm going to lose 15, 20 pounds. Go on a diet. I'm going to be more faithful to church. I'm going to do, I'm going to help out with my neighbors more. But you know what? Halfway, not even halfway through the year, we lose it. And we can't keep that promise. Not all of us. Some of us are good at doing it, but not all of us are real good at doing that. I am so thankful that I serve a Lord and Savior that never backs out on his promises. Amen. Titus chapter 1. And this has to do with eternal life. I'm so thankful that I have a Savior that gives us that promise of eternal life. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised me before the world began. He promises us that we can know for sure that we have eternal life. Let's look at, I'm just going to jump through and do a little bit of scripture. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. I'm going to go through some promises that that God gives us about eternal salvation. Yeah, I'm going to lose my voice here. Acts 4:13 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved." Folks, if you're trusting in anything else other than Jesus Christ, you're setting yourself up for a fallen hell. I do not want to see that in any situation. I need to be more pressing this at the nursing home. There are people at the nursing homes that I preach at that believe that they can do good and get them to heaven. But folks, the Bible is clear and plain on that. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast." Folks, if you're trying to work your way to heaven, like I said, you're going to set yourself up for a fallen hell. John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verses 27 through 27-28. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Amen. That is the greatest truth. Once God has you in your hand, his hand, no one can pluck you out. He has us. We may backslide, and yes, we all at times tend to fall off, but he will never, never let us go. John chapter 11, verses 25-27. Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" In John 14:6. Let's go to John 14:1 first. Yeah, wrong way here. John 14:1 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also." And then jump down to verse 6. It says, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me," and being a church member. It don't say that, does it? It says, "but by me."
Right.
"But by me and being a good person." It doesn't say that. It says, "but by me." He is the only way. 1 John 5:13 says, "That ye may know that ye have eternal life, that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." Folks, if there is anyone in here that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I implore, I beg you, please, please do not trust being good to get you to heaven.
That's right.
Thank you, Ivy. You know, we've gotten to hear a lot of good things tonight. Forgetting your past, give more, warning to be saved, don't look back, move forward. God wants to use you, and if you've had a rough time, then God might be just trying to lift you up. A lot of good truths this evening. And I'm thankful for these men and their willingness to share what God has laid upon their heart. I want to give you a verse, Luke 24:51. But before I do that, Winter, come here, Winter. She asked me if she could sing tonight. And so I decided to go ahead and let her. Come here. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'll hold you up. Here, come here. Yeah, use that one right there. Go down there and use that one for Mr. Brother Pat. Right there. That's perfect. All right. Let's go up here. Come here, buddy. Yeah, thank you. We'll just go down here. All right, you just sing out now. Sing out. Go ahead.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive our King. Let every heart repair and prove. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and heaven nature sing.
Good job, all right, thank you. You know, I don't want to discourage children to want to serve the Lord. And Mount Pisgah, when we were there, the kids every Sunday night, all the kids, we'd have one Sunday night for all the girls, one Sunday night for all the boys, and all the kids, the boys would get up there one Sunday night and they'd either sing a song or say a Bible verse. And then the next Sunday night, all the girls would come up and sing a song and say a Bible verse. And you know, I thought that's a really good practice because it gets children comfortable in front of congregations to be able to sing. And to this day, it's affected her and she still wants to do it. And she's like, can I sing tonight? And I'm sitting there thinking, well, that's not in the schedule. And so I decided to throw that out the window and just let her sing. How's that? Luke chapter 24, verse 51. Look at this verse. And it came to pass. While he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Those words, and it came to pass. I find those words to be very appropriate, very important for our lives. Realize that nothing comes to stay. Everything comes to pass. What we've heard from these men tonight about forgetting our past, reaching forth to those things which are before, the hardships that you're going through, the glory days that you're going through, health comes to pass. Sickness does too. And it comes to pass. It came to pass, Jesus Christ being crucified. That was a horrible thing for these apostles and disciples that loved Jesus to experience. A very horrible thing for his mother to have to witness and watch. I couldn't imagine being a parent of a child having to watch my offspring go through what Jesus Christ went through. She stood there and she witnessed it all. That was a very horrible experience, but I want you to know it came to pass. And then they buried him, and it came to pass. And then he arose from the dead, and he lived there on earth for another 40 days, and he got to see his mom, and he got to be around his disciples, and it came to pass. And now he's at the right hand of the throne of God, and one day this life will come to pass. What have you done with 2017? Because here in the next four and a half hours, it'll come to pass. What are you going to do with 2018? Because in 365 days, we'll be standing up here saying, and it came to pass. We only have one shot at this life. We don't get a redo. We don't get a retake. What are we going to do for the Lord? Is there something that you can do better this year than you did last year? Have you even pondered that? I'm not talking about diets. Probably we all need to go on a diet. I'm going to try. I'm going to do different things in my life in 2018. I'm going to try to do different, and I may fail. I'm putting it on me. But there are some things that I need to do in 2018. How about you? What are you going to do different next year? Don't go backwards, go forward. God has a specific purpose for your life. Do you know that sometimes we look and we say, God has a specific purpose for my life, and if you live 90 years, you're like, well, there's 90 years of purpose. But just think of it this way. God has a specific purpose for your life in 2018. He has something for you. If you live another 4 hours, God has something for you to do. A specific thing that only you can do the way He wants it to be done. You know what it is? Are you willing to ask? Are you willing to seek? Bible says if you seek, you'll find. God does want to lift you up. God wants to use you. God wants Nathan Barker to be more fruitful in 2018 than he was in 2017. And he wants Victory Baptist Church to be more fruitful in 2018 than he was in 2017. And God wants us to continue to go forward. The armor of God does not have anything to protect the back. That's because there's no sound of retreat. Sometimes we have to stand a little bit, but we always press on, following our captain and our Lord. So if you're here this evening and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, the most important thing for you to do is to trust Jesus. Finish 2017 with a bang. Start 2018 with a great victory, having Christ as your Savior. If you are saved, what are you going to do with 2018? It can be different. Some of you are like, boy, I hate that 2017 is over. It's been great. And then there's some people that are like, dear God, thank you for letting me live through 2017. I just want to get through it. 2016 was that way for me. I couldn't wait for 2016 to end. 2017's been a pretty good year. I'm looking forward to 2018. Some people are rejoicing over 2017. Some people are heartbroken. They're spending Christmas for the very first time without someone that they loved, that they've spent for years with, New Year's, their loved ones in heaven. I preached 13 funerals last year. 13 families without the person that had always been there. 2018's coming. You know, I was on Facebook today, I can't remember, and picture came up. My wife had posted something. I think it was even last year she might have posted it. I had a picture of me and my dad and my family. We were standing over here, and it was really a picture. Amanda was focusing on our family. It was just me and Amanda and Summer and Autumn. They were just little tykes. There was no Brandon or Winter. And John was on one side, and Amanda zoomed in. It just so happened that she didn't zoom in far enough to get my dad out of the picture. My dad was standing right beside me. And then she took a picture of last year. We're sitting over here. I think it was last year, the year before last. We're sitting down here getting our picture taken, and Brandon and Winter's in the picture, and she has something on there. And I remembered what my dad used to tell me, because when I was 16, I would sit there, and, you know, when I was 15, I said, boy, I can't wait to be 16 so I can drive a car. I can't wait to be 18, graduate from high school. I can't wait to get out of college. I can't wait to get married. These are all statements that I made. And my dad would always respond pretty much with the same statement. And now it's so more true to me, and I understand what it means. He would say, son, stop wishing my life away. Fair enough. Everything comes to pass. And I want you to know that God has a great future for us. God has a great future for you. God wants you to be fruitful and multiply. We're talking about in a spiritual sense. Some of you are ladies like, no more children. My wife would be the first one in line there. But he does want us to be fruitful and multiply spiritually. This year, we need to be out there trying to bring more people into the family of God than we did last year. We had, I think, 87 or something last year. Well, we should have more than that in 2018. We should have a goal to see people saved, going out there and telling them about Jesus. We're going to change some things up in 2018. That's going to be hard to say. We're going to, from time to time, we're going to have church-wide visitation on Saturday. And we're going to go out door knocking. Just to tell people that we love them, that Jesus loves them, and died for them. And if they don't have a church home, we'd love to have them come visit. But if they don't have a heavenly home, we want to tell them how to get one. I think that's important. Some of your hands are sweating already. I haven't even come up with a date yet. Oh boy, I don't know about that. Get over it. You can do it. God wants to use you. God wants to use you. We're going to change some things. There are going to be some differences this year in 2018. It's time to change some things up. Not in a bad sense. In a good sense. Let God change you. Let God change you. How can God change you for the better in 2018? Ask Him. What can I do for you, dear Lord, in 2018? Better than I did in 2017. Ask Him. Let Him reveal. Let the Holy Spirit reveal it to you. And press on for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus in your life. I think that would be a terrific way to end a year and to begin a new one. Write down your resolutions. That's fine. I don't know that I've ever kept a good one. There are some things that I've committed to, but that wasn't because of a New Year's thing. Usually I always fall flat on my face with New Year resolutions. But we do need to be resolved. We need to be resolved. There's some things that you and I need to be resolved about this year that we necessarily weren't resolved about last year. Could it be that in 2018 God's going to send Victory Baptist Church a revival? Could it be that in 2018, two people that we've been praying for years will get saved? Brother Mattis told us last Friday when we were up there praying for revival. He said, a man's been coming to our church for over 2 years and got saved at our Christmas banquet. Hey, I'm sitting there thinking, I know a couple of people have been coming for 2 years and need to get saved at Victory Baptist Church too. Maybe 2018 will be the year. God wishes that God would have wanted it last year. But maybe it'll be this year. And so we're just going to be faithful, keep on keeping on. You know, I'm thankful for what God has taught us tonight. Thankful for these six men that shared the word with us. And I pray that we'll take it to heart.